1. Before the worlds. Before there was a beginning, there was no beginning. We set that down first, because it is the first hard saying, and there is no way round it. And a man who slides past it easily has not understood it at all. Take the oldest thing you know of, and then take the thing that was old when that was young, and go back, and keep going back, and you will find that you are still counting, and that counting is a thing that only happens inside a made world. We have sat with it by this fire, with the logs cracking and the smoke going flat along the water, and got up in the morning with our backs sore and no further on. There was no first morning before the first morning. There was Most High El Elyon. That is all we can say of it, and it is a great deal more than we can hold. Maker of heaven and earth, our fathers named him as we have already said, and it is the name Melchizedek, the king of Salem, would speak over Abram long afterward at his own gate in the hill country. And Abram would take it up and swear by it, standing in the dust with the smell of a battle still on him. And in the ancient tongue, we call him El Elyon. And there is not a man at this fire who can say that name in this country without the back of his neck knowing it. And he was not alone, though there was no created thing anywhere beside him. For El Elyon was never a single silent point burning in the dark. He was a fullness. So there was the Father, El Elyon, and there was his word by whom every single thing that would ever come to be was going to be spoken into being. We call him the Word, and in the old speech we call him Dava. He was not made, and there was no hour in which he was not, and he was not less than the Father, but was begotten by him, although we cannot know of such a mystery in truth. But this we know. Dava the Son was with El Elyon the Father, before there was any before to be with him in. And there is a third, whom we call the Spirit, the breath, and the life, and the love that goes between the three, El Elyon, Dava, and the Spirit. And not one of the three is less than another. Three and one. Do not ask us to draw it, for we could not draw water. We have watched grown men with gray in their beards try to make a picture of it with three stones on the ground and give it up and kick the stones away. And we have done it ourselves, and there is no shame in it. It is not a riddle set to catch you. It is a fullness that is too large for the vessel you are trying to pour it into. And the vessel is your own heart and soul. And it was never meant to hold the whole of him. It was meant to be lived in by him, which is a different thing altogether and a great deal better. Hold what you can hold and let the rest be true anyway. And here is the thing about that fullness which we want you to have before anything else happens, because everything that happens after it turns upon it. He needed nothing. That is not a small remark, and it is not a piece of politeness about it. It is the hinge of the whole chronicle. He was not lonely. He was not bored. He was not short of anything, and he was not waiting for anybody, and there was no ache in him that a world could have soothed, and no gap in him that a creature could have filled. Before the first star, there was already gladness. Before the first morning, there was already love, ancient and finished and entirely content. And out of that, and not out of any lack, he purposed to make. Now hear what he purposed, and hear it before the world is made, because it was purposed before the world was made, and that is the whole point of it. He did not decide to make a house and then wonder what to put in it. Before there was light, before there was water, before there was a single stone anywhere to stand on, El Elyon purposed a creature. He would make a thing out of the dirt of a world that did not yet exist, and he would live in it. That was the design. Not a servant to fetch and carry, and not a beast to be handsome in a field. A vessel, a made thing with a room in it, and the room was meant to be occupied, and the one who meant to occupy it was El Elyon and Davar through the Spirit. Hold that sentence. Every other thing in this chronicle is a war over that sentence. Then El Elyon and Davar made the world above, and in the ancient tongue we call it Ramoth, the high places. He filled it with a host. There was no growing about it and no infancy. They were, and then they were, in their thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, and the light came off them, and the light of them was not their own, and never had been, and every one of them knew it. As we have already said, we call them the Irin, the Watchers, and they were there before there was ever a man or woman or a marchlands or any such thing. There is not one place in all the record where a man meets one of them and is at his ease, for they live in the light of Ramoth, a light that men have long since been unable to look upon for fear of their own darkened souls. The Watchers stood up in a light that had never been broken by anything, and they looked at the one who had just made them. And they sang, and it was the first sound that ever poured from their mouths. We have set out the furniture of that country already, and we will not walk you round it twice. What we want you to see here is not the throne, but the hour the throne was first looked at. Consider what it is to open your eyes for the first time in your life and have the first thing you ever see be the face. To be a day old or an instant old, or however it is that they are old, and to be standing on a floor of glass with the fire running under it, in a light that has no shadow anywhere in it, at the knee of the one who is above all. Nobody had to teach them to sing. They opened their mouths, because there was nothing else in the whole of the new-made high places that a creature could possibly have done. That is worship, and it is the only thing in the three worlds that has never had to be explained to anybody. And every altar and every high place and every temple that has ever been built on this earth is a man trying to get back the thing the Irin did without thinking, on the first morning before there were mornings. Now, among all of them, there was one who was the brightest. He had a name then, and we will use it, because it was a good name, and it was given him by El Elyon, and it fitted him exactly. He was called Lucifer, which is to say the light bearer, the one who carries the light. And he did carry it, and he carried it nearer the throne than anything else that was ever made out of nothing. Hear the name, and then let it go. Because it is a name he had and does not have any more. He was the seal of the pattern, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He had been in Eden, the garden of God, before there was an Eden of ours, and every precious stone was his covering, the sardius and the topaz and the diamond, the beryl and the onyx and the jasper, the sapphire and the emerald and the carbuncle, and gold. He was the anointed cherub that covereth, and he walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And the workmanship of his tabrets and of his pipes was prepared in him in the day that he was created, which is to say, he did not learn music. He was music. He was the instrument made and strung and tuned in the making. And when all the host of Ramoth worshipped, the sound went up through him. And there is a thing to be learned there, and it costs us something to learn it. We, who are a people that loved a beautiful house and lost it. Beauty is not goodness. A gift is not a virtue. That the making of a thing is glorious does not mean the thing is safe. And the loveliest voice in the created order belonged to the creature who broke it. We have known singers in the streets of a burning city. We have heard men make music over an altar that had a foreign idol standing on it. Never once, in all the ages of the marchlands, has the enemy needed to make anything ugly in order to ruin a man? And he could not have made it if he had wanted to. He takes what is beautiful and he turns it a quarter turn, and that has always been enough. Perfect in beauty, full of wisdom, and damned. For the light bearer looked at his own brightness. That is all. He did not look at anything foul, and he did not go anywhere he was forbidden, and there was nothing in the high places for him to covet except the one thing there was. He looked at his own brightness, and slowly, across what length of that timeless country there is no saying, a thought turned over in him and did not turn back. Where did this light come from? And the true answer, which he had known perfectly well since the hour of his making, is that it was given him, and given for nothing, and given by one who had no obligation to give anybody anything. And the answer he began to prefer was, "Look how great I am, who shine." Out of that root came the black flower, and the smell of it has been on this world ever since. And then he said it. He said it in his heart, where no watcher could hear him, and no earin could answer him, and it was the first thing ever thought in the three worlds that was not true. These are the words that broke the peace of the high places. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Count them. There are five I wills in it, and there is not one El Elyon anywhere in it, and that is the whole of what happened. And mark the last of the five, and mark what is missing out of it. He does not say the name. He says the Most High, and he stops, and he leaves the rest of it lying on the floor. He had sung that name every hour since the hour he was made, and he could not get it out of his mouth now, and he has never once got it out since, and he never will. The shortening is the evil of it. A creature who wants what El Elyon has and will not say who El Elyon is has told you everything about himself in half a title. And the watchers heard him leave it off, and they questioned which would be but the first of many such questions, for they had never seen or known anything of the evil he had become. Hear the lie folded up inside it, because you will meet it again, very soon, in a garden, and you will meet it every day of your life until you die. It is not, "I will destroy him." He was never such a fool as that, not in the beginning, although at last he would try. It is, "I will be like him, and I will get there by reaching." He wanted the throne, and he did not want the giver. And a creature who wants what El Elyon has and does not want El Elyon is a creature who has already decided that the gift can be had without the hand it comes out of. It cannot. It never could. There is no such thing anywhere in the three worlds as a glory that has been taken. And that half-title has stood in the mouth of the ruined one from that hour to this one. And it stands in this chronicle exactly as he said it. And it is not a breach of the joined law, but the joined law working. He did not fall alone, and we want you to understand why, because it says something about him that is more frightening than the pride was. He went among the host of Erin, the watchers, with that beautiful face and that flawless voice. And he did not command them, and he did not force them, for he could not. He has never once in the history of the world been able to force anybody to do anything. He talked to them. He asked them questions with a kind and reasonable air, and the questions had the poison folded inside them, the way a fig has a wasp in it. Is it not a hard service? Are you not more than a servant? Has he ever told you why? And a third of that shining company listened and turned, and their light went strange, and the room they had sung in all their lives began to feel to them like a room with a lock on the outside of it. He did not take them. He sold them something. Then there was war in the high places. Do not let a teller tell it small to you, and we will not. It was not a quarrel, and it was not a moment, and it was not tidy. It was long, by whatever it is that runs instead of time in that country. And it was grievous, and there were weapons in it forged out of the flames of truth and out of the burning blackness of lies. And the watchers who had never known so much as an unkind word were now standing in ranks against faces they had sung beside since the hour they were made. Brother against brother, and the first of all, the brothers against brothers. So that Cain in his field is only doing again, with a stone, in the mud, what was done first in the light, with a lie. The floor of that country ran with something. What ran there, no seer has ever said. It will not be invented here. And it would not go on forever, because Most High El Elyon had set a bound to it before it began, and had never for one instant been in danger. Understand that plainly, and let it settle the whole shape of the war for you. There was never a moment, not one, in which the outcome was in doubt. The enemy was not a rival. He was never a rival. There is no such thing as a rival to the one who made the rival. And the whole war was a creature raising a fist against the arm that was holding him up in the air while he did it. But it was permitted to run, and it was permitted to be terrible. And it was permitted to cost, because only time can reveal a truth. And then Dava moved, not a watcher, not the greatest of the host against the greatest of the fallen, which is the story every nation on this earth would rather tell, because it is a story with a fight in it that a man can enjoy. It was their maker. He came out into the middle of the war he had permitted, the word by whom every single one of those combatants had been spoken into being on both sides, and he did not draw anything, and he did not strain, and the thing was done. A creature cannot prevail against the word that made it, though it wage war for an age and never once let up. So Dava did not overcome him as a soldier overcomes a soldier at the end of a doubtful afternoon. He spoke with the same breath that had called the shining ones up out of nothing. He commanded the once brilliant Lucifer and all his fallen legions to be cast out, and the high places shut behind them like a door. They fell as lightning falls out of a sky, and lightning does not decide where it goes. They went down past the place where the middle world was one day going to hang, though there was no middle world yet, and nothing there but the purpose of one. And they went down and down, and they came at last into the pit that had been opened underneath everything to receive them. And in the ancient tongue, we call it Abaddon, which is the ruin, and it is a place, and it is a country, and it is the lower world, and it is real, and it is under. His light went out on the way down. His beauty curdled the way milk curdles from the inside without anybody touching it. And his very name was taken off him, and it was taken by the one who had given it, and it has never been given back, and he is called Lucifer no more. So hear now the names our fathers gave him, for a creature that loses its name gets called after what it does. He is Satan, which is the adversary and the accuser, and it is not a title he wears, but a trade he plies. And he will run that trade in either direction, accusing a man to God or accusing God to a man. And he does not care in the least which way round it goes, so long as somebody stops trusting somebody. He is Apollyon, which is the destroyer. And he is king in Abaddon, and he would destroy his own as freely as he destroys ours if their day of damnation was not held alone by El Elyon. He is Beelzebul, who was once a lord of a high place and is now the lord of the flies, the prince of the swarming dark, and you will know his kingdom by the sound it makes over something dead, and when we do not wish to give him even so much as a title, we call him the ruin, and we name him by exactly what he made of himself. Some of the old fathers say, And it is their saying, and nothing in this chronicle leans upon it, that in the falling he spoke words of repentance. The record does not tell us. If he did, they were empty words, and they were the first of a kind that this world has been full of ever since. For a man may be exceedingly sorry, and be sorry for nothing but the outcome. He did not grieve that he had wronged his Maker. He grieved that he had lost. There is a whole heartbreak in that distinction, and you will do well to learn it early, because most of the tears that have ever been shed in the Marchlands have been shed over the bill, and not over the deed. He wanted his brightness back. He did not want El Elyon, and he does not want him now. And if the door of the high places were opened to him this evening, he would not walk through it, unless he thought he could rule it. And that is the most terrible sentence in this telling. For a will that has seen everything and chosen against it with the whole of itself does not swing back, and this is not a cruelty of El Elyon's, but the plain nature of the thing chosen. He stood in unbroken light, knowing exactly what he was doing, with every fact in the three worlds laid out flat in front of him, and he did it anyway. There was nothing left to show him. There is nothing to be added to the case. And so his ruin is fixed, and it is fixed from the inside, and the bars of it are of his own manufacture, and he could walk out of the door this minute if he wanted to, and that is precisely the trouble. He does not want to. And now we must tell you what that country is like, because it will be under your feet in every book of this chronicle, and it does not stay down there. Abaddon has no fire in it yet. That surprises men, and it disappoints the sort of man who likes his justice hot, and we ask you to sit still with it, because it is worse. The fire is kept for the end. The fallen iron know that, and the knowing of it, the long waiting for a thing that is certainly coming and is not here, is half of what is wrong with them, and the whole of what is loudest. What there is instead is madness. It is cold there. And it is wet, the way the bottom of a dry well is wet, with the stones sweating and the walls furred over, and the air standing still and thick, and a smell in it like an old cistern that has had something in it, and there is a dark in it that is not empty. And the only relief anyone has ever found in that country is to go further down, which is to say, to do a worse thing, which is to say, to want a worse thing. And none of it works, and every one of them keeps doing it, the way a man with an itch under a scab will go on opening it until the bone shows. That is Abaddon. It is not a furnace, not yet. It is an asylum with the door shut from inside. And here is the one thing about the ruin that we would carve into the doorposts of this chronicle, if we could reach them. For we have watched men be frightened of him all our lives, and be frightened of the wrong thing. He cannot make anything, not one thing, not a stone, not a fly, not a blade of the grass that was not made yet on the morning we are speaking of. Everything he has, he was given, and everything he does with it is a turning of a thing that was given him against the one who gave it. He can spoil, and he can take and pervert. He can stand at your elbow and tell you what the silence means. But he cannot give you anything, and he never could. And if he ever offers you a gift, look for the hook, because there is always one, and it may be in your mouth already. And Most High El Elyon did not change one line of the purpose. That is the thing that has kept us alive in this country, and we set it here so that you have it early. He had purposed a vessel before the war, and after the war, he purposed the same vessel, in the same terms, with nothing struck out. He did not decide, upon seeing what a free creature can do with a free will, to make the next one safe. He did not make a beast with a smaller room in it. He went ahead. He made a thing out of dirt that could tell him no, and he told the whole of the high places what he meant to do with it. And one of them was listening from the floor of the pit, with his face turned up. This has been argued by the fire 100 nights, and here is what that looks like, so that you do not take us for men with an answer. It is a small fire of dry logs and dung, and whatever thorn we can gather, and it smokes, and the smoke goes flat along the black water instead of going up. There is a clay lamp on the brick with a bad wick in it, and not much oil. And beyond the lamp, there is nothing but the flat country and the stars, and further off the wall of the city and the gate, and the stone beasts standing in the gate. And we sit round that, with our cloaks over our knees, old men with cracked hands, and we ask one another why a good El Elyon permitted a war in the first place, when he could have stopped it with a word before it began, and why the beauty was given to the one who would spoil it. And what comes back to us is thin, and it is the whole of what there is, that time reveals truth. So we hang our hopes upon what we do not yet understand. And the fire goes down, and somebody says it is late, and we go to our mats, and lie in the dark and hear the water going by, and it is not all settled, and it is not going to be until the time when time is no more. So now there were two worlds, where there had been one, and there was a third one coming, and it would be laid between them like a table between two armies. And a marchland is not a battlefield, where two hosts meet in the morning, and one of them goes home at dusk, and the grass grows back. It is a country that men live in. They plough it, and marry in it, and raise their children in it, and bury their dead in it. And the war goes over the top of them the whole time, and does not stop, and has never stopped. Everything that has ever been done, or suffered, or sung, or wept for, has been done on that ground. We are going to tell you next how it was made, and we are going to tell it slowly. Because the making of a world is not a small thing. But we will not leave this telling without saying the one thing we have earned the right to say. We are the sons of a house that was beautiful. We had a city on a hill, and a house of cedar and gold in the middle of it. And the glory of Most High El Elyon came down and filled it, so that the priests could not stand to minister. And we lost it, and it is a black floor now, and we are sitting in a ditch by a foreign canal writing this. So we know a little about a glory that was given and then thrown away. And here is the only difference between us and him, and it is the entire difference, and it is not in us. Ours can be given back if we choose, and choose we must, or die.